Good evening. A very happy Friday evening to you sports fans. How are you doing? Hope you've had a good week. We are here with Tony Mebbin and a special guest this weekend to talk through all the latest football fixtures coming up and another prize draw. It's a live draw. We've had a lot of them lately, haven't we, Tony?
We have, and this is the joys of having midweek fixtures because the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup prelim round was on Wednesday. We had five games, we've got five results, and we've got 16 in the hat now. So Norma Mackey from the Ascot Hotel sponsors is here to do the draw for the first round it is now. So are you ready to go?
Always ready, Tony.
Good on you.
Away.
Well, Norman's got the bag of balls and he's going to draw them out. I've got the sheet and we'll give you the draw.
Number two
is Castletown.
We'll play number nine.
Number nine is Laxey. So the first game out of the hat is Castletown. We'll play Laxey.
Number seven
is Foxdale.
We'll play number 11.
Number 11 is Onken. So that's Foxdale against Onken.
Number 15.
Got to buy in the last one. Russian.
We'll play number 5.
Number 5 is Douglas High School Old Boys.
Number 12. 12.
Number 12. What a cracking result they had midweek. Peel.
We'll play number 3.
Number 3 is Colby.
Number 13.
13 is a home tie for Ramsey.
We'll play number 14.
Number 14 is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Number 4.
Number 4, the league champions Corinthians.
We'll play number 1.
Number 1 is Ayr United.
Number 10.
Number 10, first game for them in this competition, is Maloo.
We'll play number 16.
Number 16 is Union Mills. And the last game?
Number 6.
Number 6 is Douglas Royal.
And number 8.
And number 8 is Governors Athletics. So I'll go through that draw again, Reid, before we talk about it. The first one out was Castletown have a home tie against Laxey. Foxdale will play Onken. Rushen against Douglas High School Old Boys. Peel will play Colby. Ramsey have a home fixture against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, Good Northern Derby. Corinthians at home against Ayr. Blue will play Union Mills. And the last game out is Douglas Royal against Governors Athletic.
How is that draw? Is it exciting?
It's pretty exciting. Norman was asking me downstairs who were the top teams. And I said, well, you've got to look at the league table. Corinthians against Peel. I watched Corinthians the other night. They're going to have to play a little bit better, I think, if they're going to do well in this competition. I think it was just a rusty game for them. But Peel had a super win. Thomas Brown was the star in that one with 4 goals. But when you look at the other teams around it, Rushen you'd expect to do well. Laxey as well. But it's just nice to, you know, sort of have this night game, I think, midweek. Because normally the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup has been played on a Sunday the last couple of years. But midweek, it's gone down really well. And we've just got to be careful of that light, haven't we? But all the games got completed on Wednesday, no problems. And that's why we're kicking off at 6:30.
Excellent. Well, shall we talk about the other fixtures happening tomorrow?
We can do.
And yes, feel free to weigh in, of course, with your football expertise. So we've got Castletown versus Ramsey, Corinthians versus Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys, Foxdale take on Jims, we've got Maloo versus Moran, St George's versus Douglas Royal, St Mary's take on Rushen, and Union Mills versus Douglas Athletic. So what would you say are the games, the standout matches of the day to look out for?
Well, let's go back on one of those fixes, Union Mills against Douglas Athletic. That game has been awarded as a walkover for Union Mills. Douglas Athletic struggling to get a team together tomorrow, but I think the standout one, and I had a cracker last week, St Mary's against Peel, and Peel led 2-0 and St Mary's ended up winning the game, so absolutely fantastic, well done to them. But against Rushen finished second in the Canterlury Fair Premier League. This game kicks off at 2:30, the others are 2 o'clock, but I would say that St Mary's against Rushen is the standout one. But the one I think other people will be looking at is the team that finished second and got promoted in JCK Limited Division 2 Ramsey Youth Centre, have an away tie against champions Corinthians. And Ramsey Youth Centre, as you will have seen recently, got into the final of the Paul Henry. So congratulations to them. And when you look at the other fixtures, Foxdale against Jims should be a tight affair, but I would think Foxdale might just win that one. Castown against Ramsey, two different leagues, so I would expect Ramsey to win. They're in a bit of form at the moment. St George's against Douglas Royal. St George's played well in the last game. Douglas Royal will fancy their chances a bit, but don't take it as a gimme, because St George's has got one or two players back now from UK, so that'll make them a lot stronger. Maloo against Marown, I would expect Marown to win that one. They've played really well in the last few weeks. And Douglas High School All Boys and Laxey was played last night, and I believe Laxey won that game.
Which game are you going to be watching, Tony?
I don't know. Mr Moran sort of ships me out and tells me where to
Does
go.
He?
So I'll find out from Paul tomorrow, and we'll see if we can sort of get a cracking game, because last week's was an absolute belter that St Mary's won against Peel.
Norman, are you going to watch any of the football this weekend?
No, my watching days are over now. I'm an armchair sort of spectator, if you like.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, you can listen to Manx Radio and hear the commentary that
way. Why not? What a good idea.
And then we've also got one game in the Canada Life Combi 1. That's kicking off at 2:30, and that's Jims versus Colby.
Yeah, and it's just a tidying up process now, because I think we've got one more game to organise in the league after this one. Jims against Colby. Jims have done really well since they've come out of, lockdown three. So I don't know if players have come back in or just caught other teams out being fitter. But Colby, I know they're sort of shuffling around what players they've got available. And with their sort of cup games coming up as well for them, they've just got to sort of keep them legs going. But I think Jims might win that game.
And you are, of course, sticking around for Friday Football Focus. So what can people expect here on that?
Yeah, tonight in about 20 minutes, we've got Lee Dixon, who's the coach for FC Isle of Man, and Chris Bass, who's the manager of FC Isle of Man. And we're just going to find out some information, what's going on, because their season's due to start on the 29th of July, I think it is. So preparation is imminent. And I think they start training at an unearthly hour of 6:30 on Monday morning. So we'll find out what the reasons are behind that one. And we'll certainly find out who can get out of bed that time of day for the squad and who can't. So I think there could be a few alarm clocks or text messages
just
to get them out of bed. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of information come from them two boys.
We're missing your weather forecast for this weekend, Tony Meffin.
I think tomorrow afternoon is not too bad, but is it tomorrow evening? There might be a few showers coming in, I'm hearing. So anyone that's heading down to Castletown down south for that big bash that's going on down there might just have to take something warm down there. But hopefully we're good with the pitches. They need a bit of rain, so it would help if it came. But at the moment, the weather forecast is looking that way.
And just speaking of the pitches quickly, I'm not sure if you'll have any intel on this, but have there been any other incidences of vandalism at any of the clubs recently? Because there was a bit of a spat the other week, wasn't there?
Yeah, I don't think so. It was a shame at Ramsey, Maloo. There have been other clubs as well. And I think people are just using it as a meeting place and just leaving their rubbish, you know. It's a sports field, so we've got to be so, so careful with, glass or with anything being left on a pitch. So all I would say is that, respect what clubs do, because an awful lot of volunteers put work in to make sure that the pitch is in good condition, the facility is in good condition, and it's there to play football, not to, do something else. So, let's just hope it was an isolated incident and those sort of things will go away and not happen again.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Norman, and thank you very much, Tony Meffin. Tony Meffin will be sticking around and keeping you company shortly, but Norman, have a lovely armchair-based weekend.
Thank you indeed. Thank you.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Manx Radio Sport.
Hockey now, and it's here, the big finals weekend, the big finale. You need to get your foam fingers out and you need to get some air horns ready, because there's going to be a clash of some titans this weekend. Unfortunately, Sam Spooner couldn't be in the studio with me today. He was too busy being an excellent father to his young children. So he met up with me earlier this week and gave me his predictions on what lies in store.
It's always a really good weekend. Manx Hockey do a great job of putting on the blue ribboned event of the year for many teams and players. And it should be no different this weekend. Four massive, massive games. Final day of the season. Finals day as well, which proceeds to next week's award ceremony as well. So big, big weekend in Manx Hockey this weekend.
Let's start in the Men's Cup. So we have Vikings A versus Backers A. Who are you going to put your money on?
I'm going to put my money on Backers A, just because they've had a fine season this season, but they haven't really been troubled by the teams below them. The teams below them seem to have dropped silly points here or there or tripped each other up at times. That being said, Vikings A are a bit of a cup team, and they do seem to perform against Backers in the finals of this competition really, really well. And Jamie Brown at Backers A will know that, and they will want to get a goal early to put Vikings on the back foot as early as possible.
Would you say that about, in the Women's Cup, we have Vikings A versus Backers A as well? Would you say that about the women's Backers side, that they're good at pulling it out of the bag on cup days?
Yeah, and I think if you look back to a couple of years ago, Backers A were the first side to defeat Vikings A on the pitch in a number of years. And they always seem to have really good form at the end of a season. And although I don't see Vikings A losing the game, they've got to be really careful that they don't come up against a strong and stubborn Backers A side that will, if given the chance, go for the gullet and win.
Then we have your game. So in the men's plate, we have Valkyries B versus Vikings C. How are you feeling about this?
I'll be honest, I'm not feeling under any pressure at all. We've not got the weight of expectation from the Vikings C point of view. Valkyries B are the absolute nailed-on favourites. They have a squad that is just flowing with talent. Former Ireland players, Chris Caldwell, Neil Jacobs, Rob Milchreist, just to name but three out of about eight or nine players I could pick out of that. And they have all the expectation on them. They are going for an undefeated season. Vikings C have punched above their weight so far this season with a neat third place finish. They've made it to the final of the plate as well, which is more than they could have imagined before the season started. So that Vikings C team are just going to enjoy the day, go out and give Valkyries the hardest game they possibly can. Like I said, all the expectations on Valkyries' heads, and they are the absolute favourites and outright favourites to win.
Well, sometimes some of the best performances come from a lack of pressure on your shoulders.
Well, that's just it. I mean, some of the young lads in the team, they're going into it thinking that they must win. But actually, trying to sort of wind them back a bit and say, look, there's no pressure on us. We're not expected to win. Let's just enjoy the game and take it as it comes, put everything into it and see what we come out with.
And then the big game of the day in the women's plate, we have Backers B versus Vikings B.
Yeah, this is my favourite game of the day, just because I cannot possibly, and please don't ask me, to pick which side is going to win this one.
I am going to ask you, but carry on first.
These sides in the league were separated by pretty much nothing. They finished on the same points, the same goal difference. Backers did have a better defensive record, but by virtue of the amount of goals they scored, Vikings B won the league by about, I think, six goals. And it was just massively close. And Backers' defensive record was only about two or three goals better than Vikings. So there wasn't much in it at all. Mm. And I just think this game, it could go either way. And it's so tough to pick. I couldn't put money on this game.
You have to. It's the rules of the show.
Okay. If I'm going to pick one, just based on the semi-final performance, I think Backers B might edge it. With the caveat that Vikings B might also as well. Is that enough, or do I have to nail my colours to the mast?
You have to nail your colours to the mast.
Okay, I'll say Backers B just because of that semi-final.
Say Backers B.
Semi-final performance, especially with the likes of Sam Franklin performing so well in that semi-final. The experience of Niamh Goddard and some really good youngsters in that side as well.
Sam Spooner there, and very best of luck to him in his game, and very best of luck to the rest of you competing tomorrow. It's sure to be a fantastic turnout, I'm sure.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, exciting things are happening in the south of the island this weekend as the Isle of Man's first extreme sports festival, the Manx X Games, gets underway in Castletown. Founder Jimmy Cubbin wants to shine a light on extreme sports that, ironically considering their name, often have quite a low profile, really. It's hoped the event, which is being held at Polson Park, will expose young people to something new, with hopes of developing the various sports at
a grassroots level. Jimmy, who's also the director of the Castletown Parks charity, told me there were a few reasons behind the event.
So I've been a commissioner in Castletown for 5 years, and I think it's gone from... it's a town that's really on the up, but it's really important to me that a town is about everybody, and I don't think that's been the case in the past. So firstly, the event is the formal opening of the skate park, but then also I want to showcase and highlight Poulsen Park as a recreational space, because I long-term want to make it the outdoor recreation centre for the South. But it's also got a lot of potential as a venue, which is why I thought it was really important to try and get on a festival sort of on top of just the sports side of things. But then for me to be able to raise more money for the charity, I really need as many people through the park as I can. So the government's domestic event fund has been a huge help, because we've got an amazing stage, a really cool band lineup. The Castletown Food and Craft Market are going to be there. So there's something for everybody. There's the retro BMX scene. So boys that rode Mongoose BMXs in the 70s, they're bringing all their old bikes down for everyone to look at. So it's just something different finally coming together in a big way.
And what was it that made you want to do this in the first place?
Well, basically, I had young children and visited some riding spaces in the UK in the Lake District. And I just thought we just didn't have quality facilities, certainly not in the south of the island. And I would basically undertake a 50-mile round trip to put my kids on balance bikes on Ramsey BMX track. So I contacted Castletown Commissioners. And when I went to look to see about building a small bike track, there was a really dilapidated skate park that there was two kids kicking a football around, and I thought, surely we can offer our young people more than this. And then, so when it all started, it was the constant, it won't get used, this, that, and the other. And there's just constantly negatives put in your face. So I had to set up a charity, raise money, whereas the rate system doesn't help. The local authority system doesn't help. So whereas Braddon could just write a cheque for a gold-plated skate park, Castletown just doesn't have the money. So it's been, I'm probably nearly 10 years into this now. So I'm just to see young people like Reuben Kelly absolutely powering around the skate park, the joy in his face, it just makes me really proud of what's been achieved, really.
Jimmy Cubbin there, an incredible effort from him. So the Manx X Games is free, and it's going to include demonstrations from the likes of the Youth Motorcycle Trials, Youth Motocross and Downhill Mountain Bike Clubs. Plus, the Shred House in Douglas is hosting a jam session for skateboarders and scooterers of all ages and abilities. All the details you need to know can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. And two of the island's most prominent athletes are back in action this weekend, rubbing shoulders with some of the world's greatest. Ollie Lockley and Sarah Astin are both competing at the European 10,000 Metres Cup meeting. It's being held at Birmingham University tomorrow and will be Ollie's first off-island race since the London Marathon last October. Meanwhile, London-based Sarah has been racing regularly over a variety of distances. She recently came second in the 3,000 metres at the Loughborough International and was reserved for the Great Britain team at last weekend's European Team Championships in the women's 3,000 and 5,000 metre events. Now, this one this weekend, it's a high-profile event, with the men's and women's A races also acting as Olympic selection trials for Team GB, and it will see the likes of Mo Farah and Jess Judd running for Great Britain. Sarah will be competing in the women's support race. That's going to get underway tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and Ollie is competing in the European Cup B race, and that is due to get underway at 7:45 in the evening. Those times have been subject to a bit of change. However, both races are likely to be streamed, and there is a link to watch those races and also a link to the website where any changes that you need to know about can be found easily. And you can find all that information at manxradio.com on our sports page. So, in the words of Porky Pig, that is all, folks, for Friday Sport Preview this week. But fear not, Tony, Sam and I will be back with you tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock on AM, where we'll have all the results from tomorrow's big games for you. Plus, I have an interview with Carl Murray about a brand new upcoming Rugby Sevens Festival, the likes of which has never been seen before on the island. So very exciting things coming up in the next few weeks. So all that's left to say is thank you. thank you very much for keeping me company this evening. And until tomorrow, have an awesome Friday night and good luck to all of you competing, if I can keep my voice long enough to say goodbye. Bye for now.